So last week, our church, this church, hosted a national conference for Presbyterian pastors and elders and staff. And the theme of it was kind of helping church leaders rekindle our life in Christ. This is a great theme. Lots of good teaching. And really, after all that deep thinking and great connection, great fellowship, and really busy week because we were the host church, I thought how strange it is now to come to Sunday and to talk about gluttony. Of all things, like a sudden stop here between these two. Like, but then I thought, wait, it's okay. Because, you know, oftentimes when I'm really busy, when life is crazy, the best thing to do, maybe you feel the same way, is to do something that feels normal. And preaching on a topic of faith in a teaching series feels normal to me. So it's all right, that's helpful. But even more importantly, we live in a consumption society. And talking about restraint and talking about moderation and talking about contentment is always going to be good. And so today we will talk about gluttony. Now, gluttony is this inner longing. It's this inner longing that we try to fill with food and other things. We keep kind of putting things inside of us and then we wonder why it never satisfies us. And because it won't satisfy us, because it's only God who satisfies us. And so the call today will be to center on God, to come back to a relationship with Christ, to ask God to fill us, and then to find our contentment with God. And so there you go. That's the message for today. But this particular deadly sin in this series on the seven deadly sins is one that really needs some qualifying. And the reason is because we also live in a world that shames a person in a number of ways about their appearance, from body weight to types of hair to the effects of aging, even into a clothing. Negative comments about a person's size or age or hair or clothes or food or level of perceived attractiveness can lead to many problems, like anxiety and depression and distress and even despairing life itself. So to talk about a subject like gluttony is sensitive, to say the least. And that's sort of the topic at one level. What I hope you will hear is that we're talking about this at a different level. What I hope you will hear is that this is not about our size or our age or our hair or clothes or food or level of perceived attractiveness. This is about that deeper level that God cares about, the part that says that the ultimate desires of our heart is where God wants to have us pay attention, the disposition of our heart, the desires of our heart, and that's where our focus will be. So, by definition, gluttony is this habit of excessive eating or drinking. It's a habit of excessive eating or drinking. And that's a dictionary definition here, but right away, I got a few problems with it. And one of them is it just seems too narrow. Like, what about excessiveness in other areas of life? Like excessiveness of consumption of anything, of television, of social media, of nonstop. You know people like this? Do you know people who, like the minute they get up, they turn on the television news, whichever one it is, whichever source it is, and it's on all day long. Nonstop political news. That all those things seem like gluttony, too. That's excessive consumption. The other problem I have with the definition is that it's fine, but it sort of ignores the judgmentalism, and ignores the lack of compassion for those who actually struggle with some of the things that are part of this gluttony. And we're sort of called to not judge, but to help and to be compassionate. And that definition actually ignores the fact that there are cultural forces at work in our culture, especially, and others as well, that need to be considered. Things like the fact that we are a highly food-worshipping society. We have whole cable television channels dedicated to food, movies and books and arts, and we are obsessed with food. So you know that's going to have an impact on people. So I wanted to just acknowledge that before saying anything else, just to acknowledge that all of that is true. But having said that, today is about the reality that we are full of hungers, to put it that way, that we try to satisfy in many ways that grieve God, and they become these habitual excessiveness. And for many, yes, for many, the habitual excessiveness is food. And for others, it's drinking. For still others, it's other things. So let's talk about how do we satisfy the thing that we're trying to get at, the longings that we have? How do we satisfy that? Let's talk about how we satisfy our longings with Christ and how that leads to a more moderated and a more content life. And so to do that, I want to turn to several places in a letter that was written to the Christians living in the city called Philippi. And the early church leader, Paul, is the one who wrote this letter. And Paul has been telling the people in Philippi to keep their mind on spiritual realities, not fixated on material or earthly things. He reminds them that they raise their families and as they live their lives, that the future is always heavenward, not to lose sight of the future, the eternal future that is before them. And he tells them to look to him and to look to the other church leaders as examples of how to love Jesus in their day and age. What does it look like? Well, look to us, he's saying, and look for us for how to live for Jesus, how to live a God-first life. And then he addresses his opponents in Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 through 20. He says this, "Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ." Paul is painting a contrast between those who do not believe, do not have faith, and those who do. For those who do not believe, who they will ultimately not be in the presence of God for all of eternity. But those who do believe will be in the presence of God for all of eternity. They'll be in heaven. Those who do not believe will give glory to themselves. Those who do believe will give glory to God. Those who do not believe have only in mind their sort of unrestrained desires. They're just there to get the meal. They're just there to get the goods. And those who do believe realize that we're doing all this to get the Savior, to get the Savior of the world. And that is really it, that unrestrained consumption, this gluttony, this excessive habit of eating sometimes or being consumed with what goes in us. If Paul is painting a good side and a bad side, a saints and a sinners, a holiness and a sinfulness, the habit of excessive eating and drinking falls on that sinful side of the equation. Now, he said it even talking about those enemies of his coming into the church in Philippi. He said, you know, they're just in it for the meal. This is all about the food. Their God is not our God, or their God is their stomach, is what he said. In Romans 16, verses 17 through 18, Paul warns about people who are not concerned about spiritual realities, like serving people who are in need. All they care about is what they eat or drink. All they care about is their appetites. He says it this way, "I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teachings you have learned. Keep away from them. For such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people." So there's a group of people who are like this. They just went around. That's all they did. They just wanted to, they tried to tell you certain things and teach you certain things or say certain things just to get their appetites satisfied. Proverbs 23 warns that giving in to excessive eating and drinking sometimes comes at the price of being manipulated or wooed over by people with power or people who are trying to get you to do something. They just give you a good meal and they'll win you over. And he said, but Proverbs says, don't fall for it. Don't let gluttony trap you. In fact, he said it very dramatically. He says, better to put a knife to your throat than give in to that kind of gluttony. And the message is clear. Just take it seriously. To take this idea of what we are trying to consume, what we're trying to do with the eating and drinking and other things seriously. So I want to say some things about gluttony now. And the first one is this, just to say this, that inner void, that thing that we're trying to fill, it's never going to be filled by food or drink. It never will. habitual excessive eating, habitual excessive drinking is an attempt to do something for a person. It is attempting to address some inner thing, some maybe a problem or some void, fill a void. Maybe you've heard people say this. Maybe say, you know what, I eat to comfort myself. I eat when I'm anxious. I eat to comfort myself. And so many people go to food or other people go to drink when they are in distress or sorrow or feeling bad about themselves. And so their best friends become Ben and Jerry. Sometimes their best friends become Jack Daniels. You know, it's just something happens. And then they just open the refrigerator or they open the pantry door and off they go. Some people eat when they are upset, of course. They eat when they're anxious about life or some future decisions, and the feelings just well up inside of them. And then it's just this whole evening of binge eating. Well, just think about that. And if you've done it, I mean, look, I'm sure we've all done it. If you've done it, think about this. What were we trying to do? Like, what is it we're trying to do in that moment? We're trying to get through something, right? Trying to cope with something, right? But does the food or the things that we put in, did that actually do that? Did it actually solve anything? Did it do anything? What was the real effect of all that eating or drinking or whatever it was? We feel worse. It's like misery and then, or maybe headaches, stomach aches, and maybe even just this disgust with ourselves for kind of going back to that same problem again. And then the original problem was still there. And the problem is we're trying to fix something with something that won't fix it. The problem is we're trying to fix something with something that won't fix it. We're trying to fill a sorrow or an anxiety or a struggle with something that makes it worse. We're trying to fill a void inside with something that will not work. And look, I already know that it doesn't do any good just to say stop doing that. Right. Okay, just don't do it. No, it doesn't do any good to say stop binge eating or to say that, or for you to say, I'm just going to do better next time. That doesn't do any good either. What helps is to ask ourselves to be honest. What helps is to ask yourself if you're ready to do something productive. What helps is to find the thing that's at the core that will address both the issue, whatever it was, and your identity, who you are. Because gluttony will not help. Gluttony gives you a false sensation of help. It only afterward it reveals what a liar it is. So turning to food or turning to drink or turning to anything else like binge watching Netflix or ongoing just nonstop social media, you know, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, scrolling, it just diminishes you and does not in the end help you. So what is it? Like, what's the thing? What does one do when we're trying to sort of solve that larger, deeper, inner problem there? Well, that's the second thing, and that is the remedy. If we have all these appetites for these things in this world, the remedy is to increase our appetite, to say it that way, for Christ. It is finding contentment in Jesus Christ, and He will give it. You know, St. Augustine, not the city, the person, the Augustine, the 4th century bishop of the city of Hippo Regius in what is today Algeria. He once famously prayed, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." I love that prayer. Our heart is restless, O Lord, until it rests in you. You could just as easily say that our appetites are unsatisfied until they find their satisfaction in Jesus Christ. And so we can try, and we can try, and we can try to fill our bodies and fill our minds with other things, including food and drink, and never quite find what we're looking for until we find our contentment in Jesus Christ. That same Paul that we heard from earlier, writing to those same Christians in that same city of Philippi, also said this in Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13, when he was thanking his friends for their financial support of his ministry, he said, "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. Most people really pick up on that last line. In fact, that famous last line is fairly famous. It's one of those, many people have it as their life verse. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. Tim Tebow, the great Florida Gators football player, had it on the eye black under his eyes. He had that passage written, referenced on his eye black, and people were looking it up as they were watching the game. So what is that passage? I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. Well, that verse is about being able to do all things through Him, through Christ who strengthens him. And what was preceded by all this? What was preceded by all this matters. But because what he meant by all things, what he meant was in hardship, He can give me do all things, and in good times. In being hungry, He's got me, and being well fed, and having enough, and being in want. So no matter what life has, no matter what life has provided, no matter what life throws at him, God was always going to be strong enough and going to be enough. It was always going to be the one who satisfied him, who made him content in his life. It was not the things. It was not the things we try to fill ourselves with to this very day. Paul said, that's not what it is. It's Christ. It is Jesus Christ alone who does this for us. And that's really my hope for myself. That's my hope for you as well. To cure our gluttony for other things, we need to constantly ask God to do what He did, what the psalmist discovered and wrote about in Psalm 90, verse 14. Satisfy us in the morning. Isn't that great? What a great way to just speak out to God in the morning. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Be satisfied by His unfailing love, and you will sing for joy, and you will be glad all of your life. There is the promise, and what a promise it is, and what a reality it is. Be satisfied with God. And not only does God fill what is missing, that void that we are trying to fill, but when that happens, we honor God as that happens. Theologian John Piper once said, God is most glorified when we are most satisfied in Him. Show me a mature person in faith. Show me someone who drinks deeply from the well of faith in Jesus, who is content with God, and I will show you someone who doesn't crave the things of this world and isn't content in all of life. I will show you someone who is at peace. Let you and I go and be those people who are living at peace. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are not our own. We were bought with a price and made yours through Jesus Christ. So then we honor you and seek to bring you glory with all of us, including our bodies. We find satisfaction and contentment in you, and not from any substitute that would take first place in our life. May we find that true now and always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.